You are listening to speaking of in the history.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Men will still say, this was our finest hour.
Hello, my name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to the Speaking of History podcast. This is episode 42, and it's being recorded on September 27th of 2006. The Speaking of History podcast focuses on education, technology, and history. Today I'm going to talk about a production that's happening in the Kansas City area. Liberty, Missouri, where I live and teach, is roughly about 20-25 minutes northeast of Kansas City. And there's a production happening right now in the Quartery Theater in downtown Kansas City in Crown Center. And it's a production called With Their Eyes. And I received a little flyer in my mailbox at school about a month ago talking about the upcoming production year. And their first production is With Their Eyes. And as soon as I read the description of it, I became interested in it from both an overall perspective, but also as a history teacher perspective. With Their Eyes is a series of monologues that was collected from a high school that's four blocks away from Ground Zero, and what their experiences were on both 9/11 and then what happened after 9/11. And so when I saw this flyer, I kind of started looking a little bit into what this production was about. And it's actually a book that you can purchase, and I'll have that link on the show notes. And I went out and purchased the book, and I was able to read through some of the monologues. And then on September 11th, they had a teacher preview down at the theater. And so my wife and I went down and saw a little bit of the production and was able to talk to some of the people involved. The directors are Jeff Church and Nancy Marcy. Talked to them a little bit, talked to some of the actors, and I brought along my iRiver so we could podcast a little bit of it. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of the production. If you're in the Kansas City area, the production runs from September 26th through October 22nd. And if you're not in the Kansas City area, you can still get online, and I'll have the website for the theater, and you can get some additional information. They have a great resource guide that goes along with the production that was created by Nancy Marcy, their educational director. So even if you're not in the Kansas City area, I'd encourage you to look a little bit at this production, and it might be something that you can do in your school, or it might be something that you can bring up with your students one day in class. Now, as an educator, I don't know if many of you that are listening are educators, or if you're maybe people that are just people that enjoy history. But myself, when I reflect on what happened at 9/11, I can remember that day very clearly, as I'm sure you can. I had just begun teaching here in Liberty. I moved down from Nebraska, and I was in my new building. I had been teaching in Liberty Junior High for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I remember the weekend really well because I'm a big Nebraska football fan. And my fiance and I, my wife, currently my wife, we went up to Lincoln, Nebraska, and Nebraska was playing Notre Dame that weekend, which was a huge game, a lot of tradition. People have been talking about the game for years leading up to that, and we were both able to get tickets to the game. We went to the game, had a great time, and I can just remember it being a great weekend. Came back, I was really excited about my my new position here at Liberty Junior High, and I can remember early in the morning on September 11th, the special education teacher next door came across the hall during a passing period and said that on the news they were reporting that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. And You know, that kind of seemed odd and everything. We talked about it a little bit during the passing period. And then during our next passing period, the same person told me that a second plane had hit the second tower. And at that point, you know, things become, you know, more than just an accident. You start wondering what's happening. And so I continued to teach, but I also went to my computer and I typed in CNN.com. And I type in CNN.com all the time just to kind of see what's happening. I'm kind of a news junkie type person. And I can remember that CNN.com was, like, shut down. Nothing came up. It was really odd because CNN is usually one of the best websites to check out and see if the internet's up and running because they're so fast. And I can remember then it finally came up. And when it finally came up, there was just block print that had the title Twin Towers Hit. And it showed a picture of the one of the Twin Towers being hit by a plane, or I think it was actually burning at that time. And I just remember seeing that on CNN and thinking, you know, oh my gosh, what's happening? They asked us to not have the TVs on in our classroom during the day, which I abided by, because we did have some students, we found out later, that did have some relatives and some people that were in that area and possibly were involved in the incident. So I can remember going down to the teacher's lounge in the afternoon when I had my planning period and watching some of the coverage in the afternoon. And being a teacher, it was a really odd circumstance that day because students are always asking you for answers. And students wanted to know answers about what was happening, you know, why did this happen, what happened, who did it, how's this going to affect, you know, tomorrow, how's this going to affect next week, and nobody had any answers to that. And so the whole experience was just really surreal. I can remember leaving school, and my fiance at the time, my wife Jamie now, she was up in Iowa teaching at that time, and it was her birthday coming up. I wanted to make sure that I could be able to drive up to Iowa and see her and, you know, be able to see her over the weekend. And the big thing was, how much is gas going to cost? Is gas going to suddenly rise to, you know, $10 a gallon, things like that? So after school got over, I went to the nearest gas station in town and waited in line for like 45 minutes to fill up my tank of gas, and did that, and then went home and just watched news coverage, it seems like, for the next 2 or 3 days straight. And students in class were asking lots of questions and wanted to know what was happening, and just absolutely crazy. And as a history teacher, when I look back on that day, in my lifetime, and I'm 35 years old right now, that's probably, you know, the day, if I had to define one day that probably has changed the course of the history in which I live, it would probably be 9/11. I mean, I was born in 1971, and, you know, in that time period, 9/11 probably has had more of an impact on change, not only in the United States, but really, I think, globally in the United States. So anyway, that's just kind of my personal reflection of what happened on 9/11. So when I went to this production, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I thought it might be, you know, very depressing and very down and that kind of stuff. But really, when you watch the production, it's kind of a lighthearted look. And it's really hard to describe because they're not making a joke of 9/11 in any sense. I mean, these are reflections of people that were, you know, basically at ground zero. But it's light enough, and there's enough kind of like humor with just kind of like a human element to it that you don't come out of this being like super depressed and, you know, I'm going to slip my wrist and that kind of stuff. So when I went to the production, I thought it was extremely interesting. The actors and the actresses they have do a great job. The set looked great. So I brought my iRiver and I recorded a little bit of the monologue that they did for us as teachers at night. And so I'm going to play you a little bit of that monologue so you might be able to kind of feel or get a feel for what the production is like. So here's a small clip of the monologue from With Their Eyes.
I saw this huge plane. It was much bigger than the last one. It looks like one of those jets, you know, in the movies. You know, Air Force One or something. One of those big jets. It was one of those, and it just hits. It hit the building right there.
I noticed it enough to say to my class, "What was that?" Sort of casually. I wasn't scared or alarmed. I just asked, "What was that?" And then someone said, "Thunder." And I was like, "No, it's not thunder. It must have been a truck." It just sounded like the sound of a truck, like hitting something on a street, or, you know, sometimes you'll hear something like that.
We all went to art. My art class is on the 10th floor, turned facing north, so we couldn't see anything, but everyone was looking out the window, so the teacher was like, you know, guys, it might sound stupid and everything, but I still want you guys to draw. You could tell your kids that when the World Trade Center was, you know, attacked, you guys were drawing contour drawings.
I got this weird transmission. The strangest transmission of my life, that a plane hit the World Trade Center, and I ran into that computer room to see. I haven't been back into that office. The recollection of what I saw is framed in that window frame. Like if I had to draw you a picture, I'd have to draw the window frame as well. I'm a little apprehensive. Just looking up at all these banners, I get a little choked up, so I fear going back into that office. I might lose my composure.
I went to the window and I looked down, not out, not up. I looked down. I saw people running across the courtyard of IS 89. I thought a truck had crashed into the playground. I heard someone yell outside, and then I went onto the bridge, and I saw the gash in the side of the building, the flames coming out. I went back inside and I put on the TV, and they were saying that it was a small commuter plane that had crashed into the building. The first reaction was, oh, it's not terrorism. Then the second one hit, and I knew. We didn't know what was going on. So when we see this, like, psychopathic lady running down the hallway, it's like, I need to call my mother, I need to call my mother. And we're like, what's wrong with her? And we didn't know what was going on, so we were, like, laughing at her. But then we heard that thing on the speakers, but we still thought it was, like, tiny, and they were telling us out of respect. Like, when that guy died and everyone had a moment of silence, we thought it was like that. And then I saw my friend, and he was telling me about, like, all these things he was seeing out the windows. And I was like, oh my god, this is big. Students came up to my office to use the phone, to touch base with their parents to see if they were okay. There were actually many of them crowded into my room. The electricity went out and the lights started flickering. Everyone screamed and dropped to the floor frightened, and I just tried to comfort them.
Yeah, it was loud. Everybody was running, screaming. My brother goes to St. John, so I knew I had someone to take care of me. Someone to take me home. He's always been there for me when people make fun of me and call me slow.
Once we came out, we saw the big smoke. I don't know. When people started talking about this was a terrorist attack, I was completely, I just couldn't accept that. I was commenting to myself that this wasn't the case. This was probably just an accident. Sometimes your rationality fails you during a time of crisis. I just couldn't think correctly. So what can I say? But the dust and the soot was so thick, we couldn't see anything, so I didn't know that both were, you know, down already.
When it happened, I watched the buildings fall. I was in my house. My wife was on the phone. She woke me up. I work nights. I was sleeping when it was happening, and she woke me up and told me to turn on the TV. And, you know, I saw the plane sit out. Like, unbelievable, you know what I mean? It was like, I was just saying, it must be a dream. It must be a dream.
So there's a small portion of the monologue, and I do kind of apologize for the sound there, but when you're actually at the theater, what's happening is the other actors are talking and making sound in the background as some of the as the lead character is saying their part, and then you also have the beatbox effect. That is actually one of the actors, Abdel, with the microphone, creating kind of like a beat to the background of what's happening on the stage. Abdel is actually the one that did the intro at the beginning of the podcast where he's scratching and it sounds like you're listening to Speaking of History. That's also Abdel. Now, I did get a chance to talk to several of the actors after the production, and so you're going to hear from two actors that are in the production. The first one you're going to listen to is Carl, and then I'll also have some comments from Abdel. So here are two of the actors in the production of With Their Eyes.
I'm interviewing one of the actors in the production, Carl, and just kind of in general, I'm a history teacher, so when I look at 9/11, obviously I think everyone has a personal history of what happened, you know, to them. Did you find it beneficial or non-beneficial when you're trying to play somebody else's reflection of 9/11?
Well, I actually personally found it beneficial because I actually got to experience, or not really experience, but, you know, read about an eyewitness who, because my character actually saw the first and second plane hit. So it opened up to me like, wow, you know, adults were the only people who saw it, you know, teenagers actually saw it too. So I find it very beneficial to actually read through students who were closer than I was.
How did you, you mentioned that during the one of the openings that you watched some documentaries. How much research did you do to prepare yourself for this?
I did a lot of research. Internet, I watched documentaries on TV, History Channel, just as much as I could do, and just, you know, to take me back to when I first experienced it.
So how long have you been working on your monologue for this?
A month.
A month. So, and this is a preview. We're not actually into the production yet. Are you pretty excited for it to actually start and have real audiences?
Yeah, I am, because my part gets longer towards the middle of the play, so you guys only saw me do a snippet. But, yeah, I can't wait. I'm thrilled to when we finally open.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm here backstage after the introduction for the teachers with Abdel. And Abdel is from Holland, and he's exchange actor here in Kansas City. And I just wanted to ask some specific questions about your part. You play several different roles during the play.
That's right. I play Hudson, a freshman, and Mohammed Haig, and that's a senior. And they're both attending to Stuyvesant High School. So.
And then do you have some personal experience with some of the part in your role?
Yeah, actually, I play Mohammed in the play, and he was talking about, like, the reaction to Muslim Americans after 9/11, and when I read the script, I was really like, whoa, it's freaky, because it actually happened to me while I was riding along with my bike, along with my mother's, and they there was a woman, and she drove in front of me, and she trying to rip off my mother off her bike, and because she covers her hair, and she was like, yeah, you are the reason because of 9/11, look what you did, and blah, blah, blah. And I really, like I said, you just try not to get angry, but I did get angry, but my mother was so clever to hold me back and told me, like, don't do it, because if you do, then they're right, and they are right about we are being aggressive, and that's not it, because it's only a minority of people who do that, and majority are all afraid of, like, people doing stuff like that.
Now, what you were speaking to me a little bit about how you prepared for the role. What did you do to gain the perspective of someone that was actually there on 9/11?
We did some research. For example, we watched a 9/11 documentary from the French journalist who did a report about the fire department of New York and accidentally shot the whole video of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the first thing we did. And afterwards, Jeff Church, artistic director, invited the Alan Waterman, and that was actually an eyewitness who had a firm just two blocks away from Ground Zero, and that was like the best thing we've learned from, because we were able to ask him questions about what was his first reaction and things like that, but we get the chance to analyze his body language, his gestures, and his physical, like, things. And it surprised me, though, that not all the things, because when you see on television, it's like everyone, yeah, it's about firemen, and everyone's like in a down spirit, but it was not like that. We actually get to laugh about him, about the, yeah, how do you call it, it was kind of, it was almost it's not optimistic, but He made fun. He made jokes about it and things like that, and it was not all down. And that
not so much about the event, but about the things about around the event.
Yeah, around the things, and because the event himself, he got caught up in it. Like a moment, he saw actually reliving the whole experience and things like that, and you saw that it was still bothering him.
I was also able to sit down with one of the directors here in Kansas City of the production, Jeff Church, and these are some of the comments that he had about the production at the Quarteri Theater. Well, I'm here after the teacher preview with Jeff Church. He is the director of this production. Jeff, what did you talked a little bit at the beginning. What did you do personally to really try and get inside what happened on that particular day?
Well, I met with the teacher who organized this play and created the whole play based on interviews of the other students. I flew to New York, and I started the research there. Meeting with her, I took pictures of her classroom and talked to her, and then eventually we've now invited her to come see the play. Further, I had done a fair amount of research of my own on how to do documentary plays. They're a little different than doing your standard comedy or drama. They're a little different thing. I kind of blended my research on doing documentary plays with sort of beginning to understand what happened to some of the students at Ground Zero or near Ground Zero.
Now, was this performed in New York by that particular high school?
Yes. After September 11th, they were brought back to Stuyvesant High School in around November. And by February, they had completed the interviews and formed it into a play. And they performed it in February. And now, because of the release of this book, the book is a document of the play. All the monologues are collected and published. Now that's other people can do it, and you can do the play royalty-free.
Wow.
Normally you have to pay money to do a play,
yeah.
And they've allowed it to be done by the country, kind of as a gift, I guess you'd say.
So now what's different about the production here than maybe what they did originally in New York?
Well, of course, the people in New York, the students in New York, would have known who they were interviewing very well, and so they were not only depicting what the person said, but they're depicting how the person was. For better or for worse, we have the chance to just let the words be our evidence. And we can read between the lines and sort of surmise the kind of person, their kind of personalities, and that lets me sort of have a bit of freedom to sort of autograph the play in our own way. Now, the truth is in the words. The truth is not always found by exactly dressing and behaving like the original person. The words are the most important thing.
Now, originally when I saw the title, I thought that it would be a very dark play. And then I did get the book over the weekend and kind of read through some of the monologues. And so I kind of had a little bit of a hint that it might not be quite as dark. But even being here tonight, you know, it is about a very tragic event. But at the same time, it's not, you know, you don't leave here thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that was the most depressing hour that I ever spent.
Well, I hope not. It's very hard for us to explain to people that the play is actually upbeat, positive, and has a sense of humor. Because we learned when we did do our research by talking to a 9/11 eyewitness, when he talked to us, he's a very mild guy, but even though he was recounting tough stuff, he also had, like New Yorkers do and like people do, a sense of kind of what's ironic and what's funny and what's humorous. And we need to depict that in the play. We need to find every opportunity we can to make sure we breathe personality into the play. So you are not going to have a depressing time if you come see this play. You're going to see a lot of different viewpoints. Some of them are kind of funny, kind of outrageous, kind of... but there's also some very thoughtful material, too, as you know.
Now, do you know, is this production the only other one outside of New York, or other people
there have
presenting
been, there
this?
There was, in fact, a very well-reviewed production of With Their Eyes in Los Angeles this past April and May by Chance Theater Company, and they gave me some thoughts on this. They showed me some cuts and some edits and some... Actually, what they did was they spliced some of the monologues together. So you had three people on stage at a time, and the monologues weave back and forth. And so I am indebted to them for giving me that bit of advice. But they got very good reviews in the LA Times. So the play has been well reviewed in another location, and we're happy to be one of the early productions of the play.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
it was a great production.
All right.
Well, if you are listening to this in the Kansas City area, I would definitely encourage you to try and catch one of the productions of With Their Eyes in downtown Kansas City at the Coterie Theater. And if not, definitely go online. And you can always buy the book and look and see what the dialogue is. I thought it was very interesting to look at the book and then actually see the production. Also, check out the resources on the show notes. I will have a link to the resource guide that is up by the theater. It's very good. And again, even if you're not able to see it, I think that you'll be able to gain something from that handout. So go ahead and check it out if possible. Thank you very much to the people at the Coterie Theater, Jeff and Nancy, for opening up their doors to us, letting us talk to their actors. And again, production was awesome. Go ahead and see it if you get the opportunity. That's it for tonight's Speaking of History. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.